Take your Bibles, please. Psalm 1. The first psalm. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray because we desire now that you would speak to us. Lord, we've been talking a whole lot about change. Change is what you give us. Change is what takes place by your Spirit. Change is what is needed. I pray that we would not only see the need this morning, but rejoice in the opportunity. And again, we come praying in our Savior's name because we know our Savior is desirous of that which we are looking at this morning. Amen. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his what? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not what? And listen to this last phrase. And whatsoever he doeth shall what? Did you hear that? Now that's a promise. Remember last week when we were in Joshua 1:8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good what? Good what? So we looked at this, that for the one who has this passion, there is one book. One book. Secondly, there's one practice. Meditate day and night. There is one purpose. What's the purpose? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That's why there's the practice. Because there's a purpose. Are we there? And because of that, there is one product. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There's no wiggle room there. God says, you do this. This is what is going to take place. Now, this is not a health, wealth, and prosperity message. As we will see as we come to the very end, your worth is not wrapped up in your wealth. Your worth is wrapped up in what God has done in your life. And that's why we've been talking about change. He changed the world. He changed your world. For that reason, change your world. And this is how our world is changed, by listening to the Word of God. And when that takes place, we can change, by God's grace, their world. We can change our world. Honestly believe that there are some of God's people that are in shell shock right now. They're looking not too distant down the calendar, and they're realizing the world has changed and it doesn't look good for God's people. You know something? It always looks good for God's people. Because our God reigns. Whatever it is that the Lord calls us to, our God reigns. But in order to grasp this, in order to get it, we need to see what God's Word says about the purpose, about the person, I should say, who comes in, sits down with the Word of God, takes it seriously, and realizes this is the kind of change that I truly can believe in. Politicians can have that saying, change we can believe in. No, no, this is the change we can believe in. This is it. This is why we need to take this seriously. We are not done recognizing the change that Christ brings into the life that does this, that trusts Him. This used to be known as the National Psalm. George Washington loved this psalm. He shared it with his troops during the Revolutionary War. You got to ask yourself this. When we read psalms like this, when we read verses like we have, last week, Joshua 1:8. This week, Psalm 1:1-3. How in the world can we not take a simple message like this seriously? Is it possible that when we go home, the fact of the matter is we have settled? How many of you would like to grow in Christ? Say amen.
Amen.
Does your spirit speak to that? Does your will speak to that? I was thinking about that this morning and yesterday. Is the will of my life surrendered to the one who bought my life? I want you to do this. Would you please take some notes this morning? Just write this down. And if it's not a blessing, tear it up, throw it away, do whatever you want with it. But I want you to see, here's a person, they've come to Christ. If you've come to Christ, say amen.
Amen.
All right, there is a change that has already taken place in your life. Now, what we're going to be seeing this morning is someone who has, by God's grace, taken that change and been serious with it and is letting the Lord lead them. I want you to see, first of all, what the writer of the first psalm is telling us, that for the person who has trusted Christ, the person who has come to Him, number one, there's a change of resource. Write it down. There's a change of resource. Look at the first verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not. There's going to be some knots here. We not this anymore. You know, the things I used to do. Remember the song saying, you know, things I used to do, don't do them anymore. That's what's here. There's some knots. You see, the person who has a change of resource, write it down, is separated from the world. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We're going to look at that in depth a little bit, and we need to. You see the word blessed in the noun there, in the Hebrew, it's actually plural. It can literally read, blessings are to the man. It's not just one area. In so many areas of your life, God will bless when you change your resource. When you change your resource. The truth is, God pours His blessings out in plural. It's not just a little bit here and then it just stays there. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Heard of a guy who was asked, hey, how you doing? Oh man, I'm burdened. You're burdened? Wait a minute, I thought you were a Christian. Oh, I am. Well, if you're a Christian, then why are you burdened? He read this verse. He loads me with benefits. Listen, in short, the person who has had a change of resource, he no longer believes like the wicked. He no longer behaves like the wicked. He no longer belongs with the wicked. That's what it is for us. Folks, we are different. That's why there are some things that we can hear about from the world, like this last week, and we'll take note of that a little bit. And it's like, where in the world are these people coming from? I'll tell you what, there's a group of people in the world, they are obeying more and more their master, and I'm not talking about God's people. I pray, though, that God's people more and more are obeying their master. That's why he tells us in 1 John, hey, listen, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, it is of the world. We're not of the world. This world is not my home. This world is not my home. I'm going to be looking at this theme of change in 2 weeks again. Last message on the change that takes place. And we're going to be talking about what's awaiting us in glory and what we need to be putting there right now. But meanwhile, let's take a little bit of a deeper look just in verse 1. I want you to notice when it comes to this person, his stride walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What it means is this: you do not participate in the schemes or the plans. You do not allow the counsel to impact or influence your behavior. I don't care if you read it on the internet. I don't care if you got it from that doctor that's on television. You don't listen to it. God is our authority. Amen? Amen. Oh, I'm going to start offering coffee at the beginning of the service. There's some really good coffee. I mean, it'll make this crowd amen. What's the counsel of the ungodly? Does your Bible address it? Hey, it sure does. The counsel of the ungodly considers wise counsel as stupid. Yes. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools keep God at arm's length. All right? It says this kind of counsel, hey, sin will not hurt you. There's nothing wrong with wrong. Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock at sin. You ever seen a fool make a mock at sin? Let me ask you, before you were saved, even if you were backslid, did you make a mock at sin? That's one snake you don't want to get a hold of. One snake. Yeah, a mock of sin. Don't do it. Oh, come on. The rejection and hatred for parents is encouraged. The rejection and hatred of parents. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Yes, it takes place. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. The counsel of the ungodly enrages and inflames people to hurt others. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Folks, when I hear stuff that's coming out of New York, of Washington, of Hollywood, when I hear things that are coming out of so-called mainstream America where there is absolute foolishness, the absolute vulgarity. You know, we used to say this, hey, don't talk like that, there are ladies present. Now it's the ladies that are using that kind of language, not just the men. See, these kind of things, it's not just the vulgarity, it's the anger and it's the viciousness, the threat that comes out. And the fact of the matter is, the people that have embraced the prince of this world, they're all for it. They don't care. I mean, it's coming out on television. I don't watch TV. I don't watch a lot of, just give me some old time stuff. But the point is this. This is exactly what has taken place. The person who has embraced Christ is walking away from this kind of counsel. The counsel of the ungodly either denies God's existence or His authority in our lives. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know, it's kind of interesting here. People say, well, you know, that's a guy that's denying the existence of God. Not necessarily. In the Hebrew, it literally says, the fool has said in his heart, no God. Don't want him. He might exist, but I am going to call my own shots. Are you listening? Everybody here? Amen. Nobody falling asleep? All right. This is exactly what we have here. Ungodly counsel says, hey, live for your life, live for yourself. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. By the way, can Christians get into that kind of foolishness? Oh, yeah. Listen, there has to be a difference. That's why we're talking change. Because there is change in the life that has recognized, I'm a sinner, my sin is sending me to hell, praise God there's a Savior, He died for me, rose again, I'm going to trust Him, and He's the one that comes in and says, hey, I've got a work in you that I want to do. See, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he goes on in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I'm so glad He's not done with me. I'm so glad He's not done. By the way, you glad He's not done with you?
Amen.
Let me ask you this. Now, don't anybody say anything or raise your hand or do whatever, but let me ask you this. Do you sometimes get fearful about the change that He would make? Why? If He loved us so much to die for us, He's not going to do that which would hurt us intentionally for the wrong thing. Let's keep going. This kind of counsel, this wicked kind of counsel, substitutes God's counsel for another. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. It raises up perversion and filth. Proverbs 16:12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. A froward mouth is a perverse mouth. That's what we have spilling out of the places that I've mentioned before. Proverbs 10:32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. That's his stride. Then there's his stand, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, the standing represents obstinacy. There's a stiff neck here. There's a fixed position that willfully violates God's word. I will not do that. Folks, that is dangerous. That's why the man who is saved, there's a change in his resource. The Hebrew word, in fact, for column comes from the verb that means to stand. Standing indicates a close association in sinful behavior. Don't want to take a moral path. Listen, suppose you had a team and you needed a new coach. And you said, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a coach from the team that we're playing on Saturday. Well, are you kidding? Then why listen to the wicked one? The wicked one wants to destroy us. Why not listen to the word of God? Counsel, the word counsel that we saw, is the principle or the thinking of how we live, and way is the practice. That's why we don't do this. We don't look to the way of sinners. We don't want to embrace their lifestyle. Do we see that with people that did that in the Bible? Yes. There's a lot. Next thing you know, he's wanting the lust. He's lusting after the wealth of Sodom and Gomorrah. He winds up there. He's sitting in the gate. Eventually, there's the prodigal son who stood in the way of sinners, lost his inheritance, lost his peace of mind. There's Achan who disobeyed God. He coveted gold and garments of Jericho, and he and his family paid with their life. And then in verse 1, we see this, his sitting, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Pay attention to this, because God's people have to be very careful. You have changed your resource. This is what the world would do. Sitting indicates being entrenched in the life spot, in the lifestyle, to the point of desiring to sway others. That's what we see down at the Capitol with so many. That's what we see in Hollywood. That's what we see in so much of what is going on in the government schools, in the curriculum that they wind up getting. Folks, it tears me up when I read that according to the curriculum that is going to be coming out in California, kindergartners are going to be learning that there are 15 genders. I didn't make that up. Excuse me, my Bible says that He made them male and female. But see, you get away from God, and all of a sudden, you're seeing things, I mean, incredibly. And now they're not going to address he and she in the Capitol. It's going to be they. That is so sad. But again, it's what they've done is they have walked, they have stood, and now they sit in a mockery of God's word. Folks, can we recognize this? We have changed our resource. Amen? Let's do it. Let's just understand. The people that sit in the seat of the scornful, you get that close to these people. Hey, they're arrogant. Proverbs 21:24, proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. In other words, it's anger that they're glad for, and they don't care if you get hurt. That's exactly what is taking place. They love conflict. Hey, now listen to this. Proverbs 22:10, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Now, you hear that? You know, if there's difficulty going on in a situation, somebody has a problem. Now, just think about that. Just meditate on that. In fact, they delight in mocking. Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. This is why Joshua 1:8 tells us we need to get into this. We need to get into this. The scorner, lastly, fights correction. Proverbs 9:7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Hey, rebuke a wise man, he'll love thee. He'll love thee. They bring strife. They're foolish in their thinking. They are dead spiritually. Psalm 10:4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. This is why we meditate on these things day and night. Because listen, you have a fleshly default setting, and so do I, that wants to go after these things. That's why we're told this is what we need to do. So number one, we've got a change of resource. Hey, write this down. Number two, what we see here, the person who has trusted Christ, who has come to God, there's now a change of routine. A change of routine. He is saturated with the Word. With the Word. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. David, when he wrote Psalm 119, just absolutely oozed this as he was writing. Verse 16, Psalm 119, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Folks, this is why the wicked one hates this so much. This is why they have fought to keep this out of people's hands. When Ceausescu was still ruling in Romania, my dad had a pastor friend in Ohio. This man flew to Romania to meet with the underground church. And he says, when I got in there into Romania and was going through customs, he says, I was asked a question I've never been asked before. After they went through the usual thing, where are you from, et cetera, et cetera, they asked, do you have any Bibles? Do you have any Bibles? He said, I have two English Bibles. They let him come in. But the underground pastors would point out to him, you're being followed. You're followed every day. Every day. They know who you are. They hate this book. But this is what we are to cling to. The godly man, write this down. The godly man ponders three things. The godly man ponders three things. Number one, he ponders the word of God. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So number one, he ponders the word of God. Secondly, he ponders the wonder of God, especially what he finds in the word. Psalm 63:6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Can I encourage you to do this? Start making it more and more of a habit that when you go to bed and when you wake up in the morning, your first thoughts are of God. Your first thoughts are of Him. You are setting your heart to seek Him. Write this down. Number three, the godly man ponders the word of God, the wonder of God. Then he ponders the works of God. Psalm 77:12. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. This is why at times we'll have a testimony time. I love it when I hear what God is doing in somebody else's life. I love it when I hear how God has done change. He has done change. I love it when I can tell somebody what God has done in my life. Look, we're family here. Amen? We're family. We can look at each other and we can maybe think, you know, I wish so-and-so would get this from God's Word. There's a good opening for praying for somebody. There's a good opening. Heard about a family that just devastated a pastor. Heard about it this morning. Walked out on the church. This church isn't thus and so, you know, and walked right out. You know, people need prayer. Churches need prayer. You need prayer. I need prayer. You know, I can imagine, you know, a pastor needs to change. He needs to shave that beard. It makes him look 10 years older. But see, I'm doing it on purpose. Ponder three things. The word of God, the wonder of God, and the works of God. And now the third thing. There's a change of resource that we see here. There's a change of routine. Hey, praise God, there's a change of result in the life. There's a change of result. He is situated, see, by the waters. We'll see this. Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, when somebody talks about a tree like this, it speaks of vitality, fertility, beauty, majesty, strength. It's a symbol of blessing. You go into Jeremiah chapter 17. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. He shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Folks, you have in your lap a book that brings these kind of promises. I love the promises of God. Watch this. I'm going to break this up a little bit. And he shall be like a tree planted. This speaks of security. You are rooted and grounded. Listen, God took you and placed you someplace where you could grow. He placed you in Himself. He gave you His Word. He gave you His promises. Now, we've heard these things before, but did we act on them? Did we rest in them? Are we recognizing them that, you know what? This is how I can live. This is what my God has done for me. His planting. Literally, you are transplanted. You are not where you were. In Christ, you are in some place new. Yeah, but I just don't see it, in my life. I used this illustration a long time ago. I love this one. I want to share it with you again. There's a tree called the Chinese bamboo tree. The Chinese would plant the seed, water it, fertilize it. Year one, nothing happens. Year two, water it, fertilize it. Don't see anything. Year three, water it, fertilize it. Nada. Year four, water it, fertilize it. Nothing. Year five, sometime in the fifth year, that bamboo tree, that Chinese bamboo tree, in 6 weeks grows 90 feet. Now let me ask you, did the tree grow 90 feet in 6 weeks, or did it grow in 5 years? That's a good question. It grew in 5 years, because without the first 4 years, that thing is dead. So this is what you do. You take your Bible and you read. You read, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." And it's like, I want to change, but challenge is coming, but all right, you read it. And then you read it some more and you pray over it. Amen? And you keep at it. And then one day, there's a challenge that comes. And the Word of God comes right through your mouth. The power of God, the faith in Jesus Christ, that He is with you. You are believing it when He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." When that happens, you just grew 90 feet. It took time, but you grew 90 feet. Amen? His placement. And he shall be like a tree, listen, planted by the rivers of water. It's interesting, this word rivers here actually has the idea of artificial channels that have been dug to irrigate fields. Again, the person is put in this area. Psalm 37 tells us, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way." What's that saying? The good man is the person who, while he's walking, he's asking the Lord where to walk. And two things happen. Number one, he's right where the Lord wants him, ordered by the Lord. But then secondly, in the spirit of that man, something has taken place, because the man says he delighteth in his way. God put me here. Now, sometimes where God puts you, it can be kind of tough. But you know what? God is so good. You see, a little over a year ago, I was not walking where God put, I wasn't liking where God put me. I didn't think my wife was going to live. But you know, a year ago today, 9 days after open heart surgery, we were shopping. I'll never forget taking the picture. Boy, that'll make a Lutheran shout. That's a joy. You see, you delight when you see what God is doing. Amen? Are we still here? Do I need to quit? Good. Let's not quit. His production. Look at this. Look at the verse 3. His production that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. The Lord said in John 15, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. There's the change of the resource. Now, we've got to ask ourselves something. Am I really taking advantage of the resource? I look in my life and I think, you know what? There's times I haven't. There's times I haven't. Are you with me there? How many of you've ever stopped, you thought, you know what? I was listening more to myself than I was to my God. Oh, yeah. That's another way of saying, oh, amen, yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, it kind of comes back and stings us, doesn't it? You know, wouldn't it be great if we as a local fellowship said, you know, by God's grace, each and every one of us, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make sure we are in the right resource. Let's do that. I want to bring something up. I'd like to keep your finger there in Psalm 1. But there's a reason why we need to have this. The Lord brought something along my mind. I just kind of meditating on it. Go to the book of Daniel, would you? Go to the book of Daniel. There was something that came to my heart. In fact, I did a little bit of a video on it on Facebook yesterday. Daniel had been carried off in the Babylonian captivity. Now the Medes and the Persians have come in and they have defeated Babylon. Now there's a man by the name of Darius. He is king. Look at verse 1, Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. I'm sorry, I think I said 1:6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. And this Daniel, I love reading about Daniel. I'm getting ready to read about him in my devotions again. What a man of God. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now notice, in a strange land that he did not want to go to, Daniel is living a godly life. People are talking today about, man, I got to get out of California. You know, it's so wicked. Number one, the wickedness is going to follow you anywhere. But number two, why did God put you here in the first place? So here we are in Babylon. Here we are. And I'm sure that there were those that were saying, man, I can't wait to get out of here. Daniel was being what God called him to be. And you know what? There were some people that weren't liking it. Now go to verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now listen to this. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You know why I need to listen to Psalm 1, 1 through 3? You know why you need to? Because there's a product that God is desiring. It might not be the best of times, spiritually, in our nation. But in this place, God is looking for a man. Ezekiel, I just read this in my devotions. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. And I found, it's so sad, and I found none. Daniel was being what he needed to be. And they said this, you know, the only way, I mean, the guy's doing his work right. He's not cheating. He doesn't, you know, there's none of this wickedness that he gets in. You know, that ought to be our lives. Amen? That ought to be our lives. It ought to be that the only way that somebody can bring an accusation is because of our biblical Christianity. And by the way, that is exactly what is taking place. That's exactly what's happening. They are attacking because we are against homosexual marriage. Or rather, the Word of God is against homosexual marriage. We don't say it because, well, we just think it's weird. No. The Bible says that He made them male and female. Do you understand that? And by the way, He made them male and female. Not the male so He could turn into a female and vice versa. You can't change DNA. But Satan is going to make sure that there are those that will come along and they will call us names. They will say we're full of hate. Folks, we preach the greatest love story. But I got to thinking about this story. That the reason why we want to have that change of resource, the reason why we want to see the change of result in our lives, is because when the world, not if, but when the world comes at us, the only way they can accuse us is because of our God, because of our biblical Christianity. And that's when we can tell them about our God. It might not make a difference, but it is up to us to tell them. I felt so bad. There was a time, we were out yesterday, and I'm still thinking, I want to go back to this house. There was a lady and her daughter I needed to talk to about the Lord, and I didn't do it. I wish I had. Want to go back there, because she deserves to know that there's a God that loves her, and He died for her. How many of you know somebody? They need to know there's a God that loves them and He died for them. Amen? So see, in order to do this, there must be this change. You know, a consistent life with a production of great fruit in His season is what He wants to see. Sometimes it's kind of difficult. I love this story of John Wesley. There was a single page from John Wesley's diary, and I'm just about done, that read like this. Sunday, a.m., May 5th. Preached in St. Anne's. Was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday, p.m., May 5th. Preached at St. John's. Deacon said, get out and stay out. Doesn't that sound just like a deacon? I tell you. Sunday, a.m., May 12th. Preached at St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. P.M., preached at St. George's, kicked out again. May 19th, A.M., preached at St. somebody else's. Deacons called special meeting, said I couldn't return. That's what I'm going to hear February 3rd. I'm just kidding. Sunday, P.M., May 19th, preached on the street, kicked off the street. May 26th, preached out in a meadow, chased out of meadow when a bull was turned loose during the service. That's one thing we've never had happen here. Larry, please don't buy a bull. Your property right over. I mean, I love the sheep. You know, we'll get the sheep over here. No bull, no bull, no bull. Sunday, June 2nd in the morning, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. I love this. Sunday evening, went into the pasture. 10,000 people came. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The world might not see it as prospering. But our God does. And that's why in 2 weeks, we're going to be taking one more look at the change. But let me say this. Success is not the same as wealth. True wealth is not what your net worth amounts to, but what you amount to. And there's coming a day when that will be clear when we stand before God. Amen?
Amen, brother.
Boy, I love the change. Folks, let's keep changing. Not by our wisdom, but by His power and for His glory, guided by His Spirit. Let's bow our heads.